So as I was sitting here just before ending the sitting, I was contemplating whether or not the sound system would work, because it's not guaranteed. And I thought, well, if it doesn't, I'll suggest that everyone comes right up to the front, because actually then you don't have to listen from so far away. And even though maybe and hopefully you can hear at the back, if anyone would like to come to the front at this time, there's actually plenty of space. There's even some very comfortable seat here, but anyone who would like to, you're very welcome. It's only relatively recently that Dharma talks have been given with an amplifying system. Until this time, people just had to crowd in close if they wanted to hear. And I think there's something nice about that. The second thing I contemplated if the sound system... Yeah, come up if you like. The second thing I contemplated if the sound system wasn't working very well was that I would reduce the competition by suggesting the air conditioning was turned off. And I wondered how that might be received. Doesn't feel too bad in here right now. Perhaps we don't need to find out the answer to that question as to how it would be received, because it seems you can hear. What I wish to speak about this evening, or the theme, perhaps even title we could say, that occurred to me as I was reflecting and going through the day with you. The theme that came to my mind was an English expression that you may know, or maybe not. The expression is, in the heat of the moment. Do you know this expression? Nodding, some, maybe. In the heat of the moment. Why did that occur to my mind, I wonder? For those who maybe are not familiar with it, the expression refers to things that we may do when we are under pressure. Things that we might later think maybe we might not have done if we had a little more time to reflect, a little more space to consider what might be the outcome of our actions. So, in meditation here on retreat, we are learning to be more fully present, conscious and connected with our experience, with what's actually happening, as a way of starting to give ourselves some choices, perhaps the only real choices we have, to be able to attend to our experience, to notice what's arising, to begin to see the connections between how we may respond or react to experience, and the quality of our life, the quality we experience in life, that is so profoundly affected and perhaps even, we could say, determined by the relationships we form to our experience and the way we react to it or don't. So a lot of what we create here is an environment in which we are, you could say, asked to stay in the heat, to stay in the moment, and start to look at, start to explore what is revealed through a willingness to do this. The tendency to act, perhaps quickly, perhaps under pressure, perhaps with some heat at times. I imagine we all know this well. Quite familiar with what we may have done or what others may have done in the circumstances we might describe as the heat of the moment. And I wonder if there are things that come to your mind when I describe that or when I refer to that, things that you might remember, recall or reflect where your own actions or someone else's have, it seems, come in the heat of the moment and perhaps led to some harm, some suffering, some regret, something that maybe we carry with us. And it seems in such situations it's as if we have no choice. That's sort of what that means, that expression, as if we have no control in that way as to how we respond. So establishing a sense of mindfulness, of awareness, of presence in our experience, and doing the, in a way, the hard work of this, that we know it's not easy, perhaps, by now. If we had arrived with the idea that perhaps very quickly on sitting down, things would suddenly become calm, clear, peaceful, we've probably got some idea that maybe it's going to take a little longer than today. Maybe even tomorrow we won't quite be finished that project. But maybe we also start to sense that there's some movement, there's some shift, or there's some opening of the possibility or recognizing of the potential for a change in our hearts and our lives that is based in being able to meet whatever comes and beginning to trust that no matter what our life brings to us, or at times it might seem like what our life throws at us, so we can find the ground that we need from which to, with steadiness and clarity, respond in a way that's skillful. So, there's probably been things today that weren't so easy to experience. I don't know if anyone here had, and it may be so, of course, that someone had a day in which everything was really quite delightful, enjoyable, uplifting, stimulating in a pleasurable sort of way. And there were no moments of tiredness, of struggle, of confusion, of reactivity, of feeling like it's too much or I can't do it. I'm curious, actually, did anyone have a day that had none of that in it? It's okay, it would be good, in fact. I'm happy to hear for you if that's so. It's not a bad thing. But no, of course, we see that our experience includes this dimension of what is difficult, what is challenging, and there's a way in which we can put so much effort into getting comfortable. Have you noticed that? How hard we work at trying to get comfortable, how much technology and construction and activity, energy we put into trying to get comfortable. And sometimes we succeed. It's rather nice when we actually are comfortable, but mostly what we notice is we don't stay comfortable. We can get comfortable for a little while if we work hard enough at organizing things to make that happen. But it doesn't stay that way. You come into a room, it's too hot. So we turn on the air conditioning. And a little while later, it gets a little bit too cold. Have you noticed that? I see some of you with shawls. It's like, gosh, who'd have thought we'd need a shawl earlier today? It's just a simple thing, isn't it? We create a space in which we can protect ourselves from the sun, which we can introduce some cold air into, or cool air, to make it sort of okay. And yet there's something about the human condition in which we're constantly trying to get comfortable that it's really important to look at. when I went this afternoon to the first group meeting, the air conditioning wasn't working. And I and one or two others poked a little bit at the buttons, and still it wasn't working, so we just met. And it was interesting, because it wasn't so bad, at least I didn't think so. I don't know if certainly no one else sort of left because it was too hot, although it was pretty warm. And there's something that happens when we don't make such a priority of trying to get comfortable. We can do what we can, of course, if we have some way of cooling things down when it's hot, why not? But when we don't have that, what do we do? What do we do with that as a human being in our lives? A lot of what's happening here, although we might call it a meditation retreat, and it's probably appropriate that we call it a meditation retreat, because that's sort of what it looks like we're doing on the outside, doesn't it? Looks like we're meditating. We're sitting and walking and standing and maybe other forms and shapes. And we tell people when they ask, what are you doing all weekend? What are you going to do? Meditation. Oh, good. Good that you're going to be doing something. You know, it would be a real shame if you were going to spend all weekend sitting around doing nothing. Well, that might not seem much sense in walking on a path back and forth 100 times, going nowhere. You know, be a little hard to explain to somebody else, perhaps. Sometimes a little hard to explain to ourselves. What am I doing this for? It doesn't seem to be getting me more comfortable. So, you know, there are better ways to get more comfortable, really, aren't there? Maybe. Certainly at a superficial level, sort of a fan, a hammock, a steady supply of cold fruit drinks or something like that, and maybe some nice music, might seem like a better way to get comfortable. And people spend a lot of money on going and doing that for a weekend sometimes, or a week or longer. Maybe the sea, a river, a lake. And here we are, not even a puddle, except perhaps on our cushion, where we're just sweating sometimes. Why would we do this? Perhaps maybe not everyone would come along if we said it's not a meditation retreat. We'd like you to come to a pressure cooker and sit together in this. Why would we wish to come and put ourselves in a situation where one of the essential elements is it's not so easy to get away from what's happening? A large part of what's here is quite intentionally crafted in order to make it a little bit harder to escape from ourselves. And even so far as we still might be engaged in the process of escaping from ourselves, it's really hard if we're doing that to not notice that we're doing it. Often perhaps we're doing it unconsciously, unintentionally. We just notice the mind moves away. And we see that perhaps 100, 1,000 times, even just in one sitting or one walking. And yet sometimes it's not so unconscious. It's like we actually realize, yeah, I really do want to get out of this. And we might choose to, you know, go and lie down on our bed with a large sort of bottle of water instead of doing the meditation. And sometimes that's the right choice for us. But equally, we might notice our mind getting busy, and rather than just seeing, oh, it's busy, and coming back to the breath, like, this sounds good, I like it. We're going somewhere interesting here, more exciting than meditation. And do you notice that ever? That way we sort of somehow semi-consciously consent to the process of being lost in distractiveness and reactivity and stories in our minds, and how, although they can be painful at times or feel quite dissatisfying at times, at another level there's something quite attractive about being involved in it all. There's some way in which we kind of quite like going along with the activity of our minds, even though at another level it's so clear how unsatisfying are frustrating, how often sort of pointless and entangling it feels to be caught in our minds. So the potency of what's here is to a significant degree dependent on our willingness to not have to be comfortable, our willingness to not be seeking for more comfort always as the primary measuring quality, or the primary thing we use to measure what we're doing and whether we're succeeding at it. The process of trying to get comfortable all the time is in itself profoundly uncomfortable. Have you noticed this? The attempt to get comfortable all the time is in itself uncomfortable. You see the problem here? Of course, there are times when we need to take care of our bodies, our minds, our hearts. We're hungry, we need food. We're tired, we need rest. It's too hot, we need to pour some water over our head if we don't have the privilege of an air-conditioned space. Or it's cold and we do need to put something warm around our shoulders. In very simple, immediate ways, these are appropriate responses. But if we're constantly looking for getting more comfortable, we will always find some way in which we're not that needs to be fixed. We will always find some more things to get busy with improving, repairing, upgrading, making more comfortable. And this comfortable isn't just the more obvious or surface physical comfort of the body, although that's part of it. It's equally the comfort of the mind, what it is that we're comfortable experiencing as thoughts, as feelings, as perceptions about ourselves or others. All of these can be areas in which we seek for comfort. And so we're asked here to consider for ourselves what is most important. Without this question being to some degree alive and real for us, I've got no idea why one would do what we're doing here. And perhaps when we feel a little distant from those questions of what is really most important for me, for you, for each of us in our life, when we feel a little distant from them, we maybe also ask ourselves, what on earth am I doing here on a retreat like this? So part of what we see, what we come to notice, what we talk about in the realm of insight, insight meditation, tovana, huh? Insight. Is that right? Yeah. There's another word I was learning today which I think means something similar. But anyway, it's not a Hebrew lesson right now. So, insight into what goes on inside us. The Buddha once said, in rather a simple and yet profound statement, the way we attend and to what we attend, this is the basis upon which the world arises. I'm paraphrasing slightly. I mean, for starters, he didn't speak English. But the way we attend and to what we attend, upon this the world arises. And equally, upon this the sense of ourself arises. what we imagine as that and this world and self arises according to how we pay attention and according to what we pay attention to. The art of meditation is very much the art of paying attention, understanding what happens as we do that, and to see that so much of the time our attention is hijacked by this urge, this urgent pressure to get comfortable, to get away from that which is uncomfortable, and to get more of that which is comforting. Do you recognize this? It's important, as I'm saying this, I'm not saying that it's a bad thing to do this. Sometimes it's appropriate. But we need to understand the implications if we are addicted to it, or if we see it or live as though this is what is most important. If we make the seeking of the avoidance of the unpleasant and the uncomfortable and the seeking of that which is comforting, if we make that the most important thing, life becomes an ongoing series of trying to get to a different or better condition than we're in, within us or around us. And it's exhausting, it's frustrating, and it's painful. So in this teaching and tradition, we reflect on the primary tendencies of the mind. When we're not conscious, when we're not present, when we're not awake, we tend to find our life is captured by this urge, these urges that I'm referring to. In kind of a more gentle language, we talk about the urge to get that which is comfortable and to get rid of that which is uncomfortable. In a more, perhaps a stronger language, we might talk about craving and hatred. The sense, and when we use that language, it perhaps expresses those movements of wanting and not wanting in terms of how they grip our hearts. The sense of how we can be kind of in the grip of the sense of I must get or have or keep, or I must get rid of, avoid, and ensure I never encounter again, whatever it is that we wish to get, keep, or have, or avoid. And the impact in our lives of these forces is immense and painful. The impact in our world is equally painful and tragic. If we look at what happens in the world when human beings seek after only what they want, in terms of the things that they imagine will make them more comfortable. It's good to look at what happens to our mind when we give this tendency authority. That's part of what we're doing here, is we're invited to just see what happens when we don't act out on those impulses, those movements. When we, rather than acting in the heat of the moment, we actually allow ourselves to feel the heat, rather than act in order to avoid being impacted by that heat. When the microphone moves, because I'm not sure why, I need to adjust it. There's a way in which we perhaps see in ourselves the painfulness of being entangled in this way, and the the false promise of it. The false promise of it. We don't do anything unless we actually believe at some level it's for our greater well-being, for our deeper welfare, for the welfare of those and that which we care for and love. But all too often we don't really understand what it is that truly and deeply serves our well-being. So with this movement of wanting to examine it, I often remember an experience I had on retreat quite some years ago now when I think back. And there was a particular kind of food that I really liked, and probably not traditional, sort of in this part of the world. You may have heard of lasagna. There's something I really liked, something I got quite excited about. And one day it was served on the retreat I was attending, and it was like, this is going to be a good retreat day. You know, there was I in the queue, quite close to the front because I'd seen what was going to be served, thinking, wow, this is going to be great. This is going to be great. Then getting to the front, and there's the chance to serve myself, thinking, how much can I take without it looking like I'm being greedy? I don't want to look greedy. It's a meditation retreat. So, you know, quite a lot, actually, turns out. But maybe not quite as much as I was thinking I could. And I don't want to take too much in case somebody else doesn't get enough. But I took this bowl of lasagna back to my seat and sat down. And it was like, wow, this is so good. It smells good. It looks good. It tastes good. It's like, this is the best food ever. But I'm not sure I've got enough. Will there be enough for seconds? What if everybody else eats it? And do you know what happened? I started eating this really quickly. I had this big bowl of lasagna. I started shoveling it into my mouth, thinking, if I can get this eaten before anyone else goes back for seconds, I'll get some more. You know? But I was really scared that there wouldn't be any left. And so I was eating and eating and eating, and I got to the end of this bowl of lasagna, and I was stuffed. It was like painfully full. And I realized that having stopped at that point, I didn't want any more lasagna. I didn't even go and look to see if any was left. But you know what was really sad in the moments afterwards, reflecting on it, was I hadn't even enjoyed the bowl of lasagna that I had. Do you recognize that kind of experience? It's like we get the thing we want, but we're so desperate to somehow keep it or have more of it, we can't enjoy it. Likewise, the same thing happens when something difficult arises for us in our experience. Maybe, you know, we're practicing meditation and it's hard to sit here for 40 minutes, 45 minutes. It is. It's challenging in all sorts of ways. And it's like we're just, oh, I can't wait till the bell goes. You know, did you ever have that thought? Maybe, you know, the person up here has fallen asleep. It must have been at least an hour. You know, that sound, that sort of, it's not that great a sound, but when we hear the sound, it's like, oh, what a lovely sound, the sound of that bell. You know, one can get quite attached to it as a meditator, because it means, oh, I can finish the sitting, you know? Of course, what's interesting is that the moment after the sitting has ended, the bell has rung, it's not really any different than the moment before. If you stop and check it out, it's exactly the same. But somehow we're much happier. Because, what's that goes on? It's like in that moment that the pressure to get rid of or to come to the end of or finish the thing that's difficult is gone. It's like, it's the same when we get something we really want. There's a moment in which it's like the wanting of, because it's hard to want something you've got, isn't it? You don't really want something you have. The moment we get it, the wanting drops. And there's this, that's really good. And we think it's the thing that's done it for us. That was so nice, that first mouthful of the lasagna, which I did enjoy, just one mouthful. But then in the next moment, the wanting drops. I don't want this. Now I want more than this. And the wanting comes back. And there's no enjoyment. Huh? with the meditation, the bell rings, it's, oh, what a relief. I can go do some walking. I get to walk back and forth. Back and forth. And how long is it before we start to look forward to the next sitting? We start to look forward to the next sitting. We've forgotten how much we wanted it to end, and now we're waiting for it to begin so we can escape the walking. And again, it's just a moment of relief when something shifts or arises that we want, shifts that we didn't want. And what's really happening is in just for a moment, the pressure of the wanting or the pressure of the not wanting drops away. And we're just here. And actually that quality of just being here is what touches us. We think it's the lasagna or it's because the sitting is over. But it's actually, that's a small part of what we're really getting. But we're not necessarily aware of that. We're not conscious that that's what's happening. We don't see it clearly because it's happening too quickly mostly. Or because the period of time in which that happens is just a flicker before the next thing that I want comes into my mind. Or the next thing it's really weird when the volume disappears. the next moment of something just drops away. Happens, and then we want something or we don't want something again. So much of what we learn here is to pause in that point of reaching for or pushing away and just see, can I stay here with this? Can I stay here with this for just a moment? To let ourselves start to feel the heat. For many years, I taught retreats in the Negev in Misperamon. Some of you have been there and maybe remember that we would go out and spend most of the day, every day for a week, in the sun, outside. Sometimes there'd be a little bit of shade, which was good, and when there was, we would enjoy it. But it was very interesting how what began for many of us the first time is wondering, is this going to be okay? Is this going to be safe, possible, sane, with lots of water and plenty of clothes to cover the body, it can be done. In fact, people have been doing it for thousands of years, living in the desert without air conditioning or sort of all of this. And it's one of those situations where when we start to see that actually we can handle the pressure, the heat of the initial discomfort, and we start to free ourselves from the belief that by just doing what we can to get more comfortable, that will actually transform our life. There is an immense relief in that because we start to take the authority away from the pattern of reactivity that says, give me more of this and get rid of that. That we never get to rest in, because even when we get the thing we want, we're not happy with it. We want more of it. Or we want it to continue. Or get worried that we're going to lose it. It's really interesting talking sometimes I have, though I don't know many of them, but to people who have a lot of money. And they're really worried about losing it all. They must invest it and take care of it and not, you know. It doesn't bring relief in the way that I imagine. If I had that much money, I would have relief. It would be like, oh, great. You know, that would be nice, I think. But when someone else has it, it's not relief. It's, how do I keep it? How do I keep it? Relief does not come in this way. It comes from shifting our orientation. And that's what we're really engaged with here. Something happens when we allow ourselves within a what could be degree described as a degree of appropriate stretch. Okay? Now, I haven't this morning attended the yoga, but from some yoga that I've done over the years, I know one of the key principles that you need to, you know, you stretch a little bit, not too much. You shouldn't push too hard. Confirmation from the teacher, thank you. If we don't stretch, if there's no stretch at all, it's not really much benefit. But if there's too much stretch, it's also no benefit. Here on retreat, we need to find for ourselves the degree of useful stretch. We support each other by doing it together, to allow ourselves to stretch a little beyond what we might have imagined were our limitations. The way we conceive what is possible for us, and the way we often say, this is not, I cannot experience or cope with this, or I must have this in order to be at ease. These limitations that we place upon ourselves are not genuine, not actual. They are constructed and created by the way that we tend to give authority to the urge for comfort. And if we're interested in freedom, if we're interested to understand a freedom, a peace and ease that is not dependent upon these conditions and circumstances that we don't control, we don't get to choose how hot, how cold we will be. We don't get to choose what comes to us in our lives. Sometimes we can make some choice, but many of the most important things, we don't choose them. The conditions of our bodies and our minds, they're not up to us a lot of the time. But we can come to understand a way of being with them, in which we are not defined by them, in which we are not limited by them. But for this to be possible, we need courage. We need the courage to stay steady in the face of whatever it is that might put pressure upon us. To know that there might be a time and a place to say, actually, that's enough or too much. And just as in the sitting meditation, it's useful to not just move every time we feel uncomfortable, every time we feel a little sort of cool to put on a shawl, every time a little hot to take it off, or to move around every time there's a little discomfort. If we do this, what we notice is we're constantly adjusting. Have you recognized that? So not every time, and yet, so we stretch a little, and yet having permission in the spirit to say, if it's really too much, if there really is a degree of pain that we cannot open to or relax with, or that is feeling like it may not be actually healthy and safe for us to sustain the posture, then important and appropriate to make a change. And in that here, to see how fully you can give yourself to just keeping it simple, staying with each experience as it is. The degree to which we give ourselves to this, to this degree, we start to discover something else is possible for a human heart. And it's not something we can easily explain, but it's something we can know. We can experience. Perhaps the coolness and equally the warmth, depending on which way we see it, of the heart when it's no longer under pressure. So far as we keep chasing after what we want, the urge to look for what we haven't got gets stronger. And in any situation we're in, we'll be able to see how it could be improved. So far as we keep moving away, seeking to avoid things that are difficult or get rid of them, the mind gets trained to always look for what's difficult, and it will always find something. Always. There will be something that's not okay, that is here, a and something that is wanted or needed that is absent. And we can live our life in a sense of lack, a sense of dissatisfaction, a feeling of frustration. This life is not here in order to simply allow us to be comfortable. But it's here to allow us to wake up. To wake up in the very midst of the mixture we have of comfort and discomfort. So what is it that's most important for you in being here? What is it that's most important for you in your life? No one can tell us this from the outside, but I think we know. I think we know. And to let yourself be in contact with that. To let that speak to you. Some of what we have here is the space to listen to the quieter voices of our heart. That speak not in the language of I must have, or I will not have, but more in the language of possibility. Maybe there is something to discover here, something to understand, to awaken to. And for this, it's worth staying in the heat. There's a poem I'd like to share with you by Mark Nepon. It's entitled, Yes, We Can Talk. He says, having loved enough and lost enough, I am no longer searching, just opening. No longer trying to make sense of pain. But trying to be a soft and sturdy home in which real things can land. These are the irritations which rub into a pearl. So we can talk a while, but then we must listen, the way rocks listen to the sea. Stones. The way stones listen to the sea. And we can churn at all that goes wrong, but then we must lay all distractions down and water every living seed. And yes, on nights like tonight, I too feel alone. But seldom do I face it squarely enough to see that it is a door into the endless breath that has no breather, into the surf that human shells call God. To understand that love and loss go together, and both have their place in teaching us that we are here to open to what is here, rather than to search for something other than what is here. The movement away from this that is now, that is here, so far as we have the courage and the willingness to let ourselves land here, be here, and look deeply into what this is. This opening has no end. The potential for openness continues. And to see that as we open And I wasn't sure with some of the language of the poem if it's clear, some of the words. You know the word churning? It's what you do to butter, milk to make butter, you turn into. And it describes the experience of one's stomach when we are upset and distressed, churning at all the things that go wrong. Things go wrong at times, they're not as we wish. But in one sense, our resistance and struggle with this is all distraction. What we are asked to do is to turn to what is alive right here, to water every living seed. And if we can allow ourselves to face our aloneness here, so much of our busyness and activity, it gives us a sense of meaning or purpose on the surface, but takes us away from the deeper meaning, the deeper sense of fulfillment that we can only know when we're willing to face the discomfort of aloneness and of not controlling our experience. But in a way, we are just here by ourselves, while at the same time, of course, very much together with each other. And in that aloneness, in that putting down of the addiction with comfort, this moment that we learn to inhabit becomes a door, a doorway. To inhabit this moment fully is to not so much pass through the doorway, but realize that we are already in that space to which the doorway refers. To know the endless breath that has no breather. The surf. I love this phrase. I don't know if it makes sense for you. Surf, you know, that's the waves on the sea. That human shells, if we were shells in the surf, to know the surf that human shells call God. I don't know if this line makes sense for you. But for me it speaks, and perhaps we're supposed to be Buddhists here who don't do God. Maybe we don't have to get too worried about the language here. There is something that we are interested in, that in the depth of our heart we are drawn to know, to understand. And it is this. It is not something other than this that we are right here with in this moment. The simple knowing of this is the resolution and the rest that our hearts seek. So let's sit quietly together for a few more moments. So may we all, in our practice here together and in our lives, come to rest more deeply and more fully in what is here for our own welfare and for the welfare of all beings.